Thank you, brother. Praise God. I appreciate that. All the good things. Ms. Angie, thank you so much. Amen. God bless you this morning, choir. We appreciate that. We're glad all of you here, all of you in the radio and internet audience, we're glad you're here. Folks, we start camp meeting today. Amen. We are starting now. And all this month, jubilant praise and magnifying the Lord, thanking Him for what He's done for us and for Him setting us free. That's what Jubilee was all about in Leviticus chapter 25, when they released and overturned all the debts and released all the those that were indebted and all those that were slaves. Thank God, I'm glad I'm free. Amen. I have been blessed so many years now to have one of my very close personal friends, Brother Tom Gillen from Winterville, Georgia. He's a full-time evangelist. And he's been with us many, many times. I'm so thankful that God's put him in my life. He's been a blessing to me, he and Sister Beth. And I want you to make welcome again this morning, Brother Tom Gillen from Winterville, Georgia. He'll be our preacher this morning and tonight. Hope you'll be back to serve. Make him welcome to Benson Grove this morning as he comes. Amen. God bless you, Brother Tom. We appreciate you being here. We're looking forward to it. He's been like some of the rest of them. Last week he was a little sick, but he's feeling better this morning. I'm glad he's here. God love bless you, brother. Bless you all.
If you have a Bible this morning, you'll find our text in the book of 1 Corinthians. Book of 1 Corinthians. It's a joy to be back again at Benson Grove. We do not take this open door lightly. And many, many times that we've been here, and we thank the Lord for it. In these services that I'll be preaching in, both this morning and tonight, and in the three morning services, I want to look at a little phrase that appears some six or seven times in the New Testament. And it is always a eye-opening phrase to me. I call it a phrase of divine interruption. Time when God would butt in to your life. I don't know about you, I rejoice in the times that God has interposed Himself and butted in to my life. The little phrase I speak of is, but God. It appears some six or seven times in the New Testament. And each time it appears, it is an eye-opening occasion. The times when God has butted in, interposed Himself. I don't know about you, it blows my mind that the likes of Him would inject Himself into the life of the likes of me. I can see Him butting into your life, but I'm amazed that He would butt in and interpose Himself into my life. And so this morning, I want to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at this little phrase. And I want to look this morning at the divine interruption by God's choice. The divine interruption by God's choice. The Bible says in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God," there's the little phrase, "hath chosen," God interjecting Himself into your life. With your choice? Oh no, with His. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised. Here's the phrase again. Hath God chosen. But God hath chosen the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. I thought it was interesting. You'd almost think God wrote the Bible.
that he would mention this phrase 3 times in this text. But God hath chosen. Wonder why in this world he would mention that phrase 3 times. It is the number of the triune Godhead. It seems as though they have all gotten involved in this choice. Matter of fact, God the Father ordained the choice. God the Son paid for the choice. And God the Holy Ghost, for me, came in 1968 to Chesapeake, Virginia, and told me about the choice. And I was amazed. I said, wow, you want me? The only time I had ever gotten chosen in my life, because I've been a fat boy all my life, the only time I ever got chosen, I heard them say, we'll take Gillum if you'll give us first bat, because I was the last one standing there. He said he wanted me. He had always wanted me. I was amazed. I don't know if that amazes you or not, but that bumfuddles me. But God hath chosen. As we unpack this text this morning, maybe you would think about the day he butted into your life with his choice. I would point out first from this text this morning the binding of our choice. Because people talk a lot about their choice, the binding of our choice. If you've got the Bible there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul says that we are bound by our nature. He says, but the natural man, that's just the common person, without any God, just us. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. See, a man this morning is bound by his nature. You take a dog this morning, you'll never find a dog that meows. They always bark because they are a dog. You'll never find a cat eating his own vomit, but you will find on numerous occasions a dog eating his. How come? This is awful deep. I don't know if you can even get this or not. Because he is a dog. And Paul said, the only choices you can make is this way. You can choose a blue car over a red car. You can choose brown carpet over red carpet. You can choose your mate. You can choose all day long this way. But Paul said you cannot choose that way. He says it's foolishness to you without God. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about the binding of your choice. But watch the text. I see not only the binding by our nature, but I notice in verse 14 of chapter 2, we are bound to naught. He says in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth. Somebody help me with that word. It's so big. Can you say it for me? 1, 2, 3. Not. It is the little Greek word, 100% non-existent. If I bring a hog down here this morning and I put a pink ribbon here and hog slop over here, 100% of the time, he is going to choose the hog slop over the pink ribbon. Paul says, if I put the world here and God over there, he said, without exception, in your natural state, you'll choose the world every time over God. Your choice is non-existent. Wow. Not. Bound to not. I don't know about you. Could you imagine God leaving it to our choice? We have fallen in Adam. This is our state. We're dead. Can you imagine leaving a choice to a dead man? I doubt very seriously he would ever. It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Make it. Dead. The Bible says that we cannot see. Can you imagine asking a blind man to make a choice? Not only that, the Bible says we cannot hear. Can you imagine a man who is deaf cannot see, and you're depending upon him to make a choice? The Bible says that we're impotent. We have no ability. The Bible says, Jesus himself says we cannot come. Peter says we cannot cease from sin. Paul said that we were a child of wrath and disobedience. John said our father is the devil, and that we're strangers from the covenants of the hope and promise. I'm glad God didn't leave it to me, but put it in with his choice. Are you listening to me this morning? Would have been impossible for you in that state to have made such a choice. I am reminded of a service some years ago. The church was praying for a young man. They had prayed for him for a long time. He was so lost in sin. They had brought his name up in the service. They asked one of the older deacons of the church if he would come and pray for the young man one more time. My mind was blown at the prayer that he prayed that day. He said, Dear Father, he said, take all his choices away and give him none but your choice. Oh, that's what happened to me the morning I got saved. God took all of my choices away, and I was left with, but God hath chosen. I don't know about you. I bless the day that he butted into my life with Psalms 110. They shall be made willing in the day of my power. I am so glad. I thank him for butting in with his choice. He changed my will to become his will. He changed my choice. I went to church that morning. I had no idea that I would do what I did, but God butted in. Chose me. Sitting on the back row, 1968 in Chesapeake, Virginia. The only reason I went to church that morning, I had just gotten out of jail. The judge told me if I joined the army, he would set me free. I had joined the army. I was leaving for basic training the next day. The only reason I went to church that morning was to make my mama happy. I sat on the back row on a couch they had back there, and I was going to take a long winter's nap. I called the preacher every year in July. He just stepped down. He started the church the year I got saved. I call him every year in July, and I tell him, I say, Preacher, I still got it. Somebody would have told me I was going to do what I did that morning. I said, you're crazy. In the 10th grade on three different occasions, took zero on all oral book reports. Very introverted. Before the preacher got done, I was sitting on the back row right back here where the speakers and all that are. I stood up and hollered out, I'm a going to hell if I don't get saved this morning. While he's preaching, I don't know what in the world come over me. They took me in the back room, two men did, and for over an hour, they took me down to Romans Road, to German Road, and to French Road. And for over an hour, they tried to get me to pray the sinner's prayer. Please forgive me, I ain't never prayed it. How come? I couldn't quit crying. Every time they thought they had me ready to pray it, man, it would just convulse over me again. I done prayed. I done cried until the front of my shirt is sopping wet. After an hour, they prayed it and gave up on me. But I learned later, studying my Bible. They took me in that back room. They's too late for me. God done butted in back there and told me he had picked me. And I said, I want it. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about the binding of our choice. But watch the text. Notice the basis of his choice. Just exactly how does he base who he picks? I don't know about you. This may alarm you. I would not pick the people he picks. Because let's face it, he has picked some weirdos. Should I say more? Huh? Watch the text. Notice, if you would, the basis of his choice is a divine calling. He says in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many. The word calling here, always in the New Testament, when this Greek word is used, it always refers to a destiny. Not a vocation. It is referring to a place you're going, not to a job you're going to do. Every time this Greek word is used, I thought it was interesting. C.S. Lewis, the great writer of the Narnia series, he said the day that God called him to salvation, he met God as the master fisherman. He says, I remember when he set the hook. And C.S. Lewis said when he set the hook that morning, he said, the only thing I heard, this is awful deep, I don't even know if you can get this or not. C.S. Lewis said, the only thing I heard was, I wonder this morning, do you have any historical recollection of God ever setting a hook on you and all you heard was, and you were coming to the net? C.S. Lewis said the morning he got saved, he met God as the master chess player. He said, God slipped up to me and said, checkmate, you have no more moves. That's exactly what God did to me in 1968. He slipped up beside me and he said, Tom, checkmate, you're done. My choice will be imposed upon you. And when I realized that he wanted me, I was bumfounded. All I could say, this, I don't even know if you can get this, all I could say was, wow, hallelujah. Are you listening to me this morning? Apparently, he didn't do that for you. Because if he'd have done that for you, that would have been a good point for some of you to say, wow, hallelujah, he wanted me. Huh? Basis of his choice, based on a divine calling. But I see in the text it is based on a deliberate choice. I notice here in his choice that he chooses the least likely. He says in verse number 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many. I was interested in that phrase, not many. The countenance of Huntington. In the 1700s, she was royalty. Whenever she gave her testimony, she always began her testimony by thanking God for the M in the alphabet. Everybody was alarmed to hear her testimony. They said, what's this crazy woman thanking God for an M in alphabet? She said, yes. She says, I've always been thankful for the M because he didn't say he didn't call any. She said, but he did say he called many. She said, I got in on the M. I love the hound out of that, don't you? Ah! The Bible says that he did not choose or call, verse 26, many wise men. I was thinking about you girls this morning. What was your grade point average, Carolina? Excuse me. See, we're much more advanced. We're Georgia Bulldogs, and we don't think much about y'all. It just never crosses our minds. So that's why I didn't mention it. How much? 3.3. He says he didn't pick many wise people. If you're here this morning, that little word wise, well-lettered, above-average student, well-educated. If you're here this morning and you know you're saved and you fit that bill wise, you ought to take your run around this building shouting. Because God said, I never picked many of you. He says, I left the most of you to yourself. Wow. Watch the text. I'm talking about the least likely. He says, not many wise men. He says, and not many mighty men. Wow. You're strong. The little word mighty. Physically fit, not sickly. You're sitting here this morning.
I'll tell you, bless God, I ain't never been in the hospital. I'll never go to a doctor. I'm in good shape. And you're saved?
Why haven't you taken a run around this building this morning? Because God said, I did not fool with many of you. He said, I left the most of you strong people to yourself. Wow. Least likely. Watch the text. He says in verse 26, he did not call or choose many noble people, royalty, well-bred from the other side of the tracks. Queen Victoria, the great, great grandmother of the Queen of England today, was a bona fide, fully bred, born again, mouth talking about her faith, Christian, Queen Victoria. She was alive when Handel first wrote his Messiah. And she went to the first production of Handel's Messiah. When they got to the Hallelujah chorus, everybody in the building stood up and began to applaud. They said that Queen Victoria kept her seat for about a minute. They said the tears were running down her cheek, said a little old chin, and her lips were quivering. And they said, to the horror of the crowd, Queen Victoria stood up and dipped the crown at Handel's Messiah. They asked her later, Queen Victoria, why did you do that? Dip the crown. She said, I wish Jesus would come back during my reign. She said, I'd love to bow at his feet, take this crown off of my head, and lay it at his feet. Amen. They said, Queen Victoria, how in this world do you know you're saved? She said, I got in on God didn't choose or call many noble. She said, I got in right there. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm talking about the least likely of the choice. But watch the text. Notice the most unlikely according to the text. Somebody's phone's ringing. Tell them they ought to be in church. Verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. That little word foolish, ignorant, stupid, arrow-headed, confused. He said, I picked them so I could put to shame the wise, the well-lettered. He said, I love it when a foolish person confounds a wise person. Watch the text. Oh, this is so good, I hate to even show it to you. I know you're not going to believe it. He says in verse number 28, and the base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen. You say, preacher, man, everybody's calling. It must be after 12. And Billy always gets y'all out before 12. I know that, and I'm sorry that I'm not going to follow Billy's leadership. It's either that or the telephone telling you to take your medicine. You can be late this morning. Watch the text. You say, preacher, how did you get in on salvation? Watch right here. It tells you how I got in. He says in verse 28, in the base things of the world, the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are, right there's where I got in. God come through Chesapeake, Virginia in 1968. That morning he said he was looking for knots. That little word knot, N-O-T there, is our little word for a zero with the rim rubbed out. He says, I was looking for losers that morning. He says, I was looking for people that could not do anything for themselves. He says, I was looking for knots. That's where I got in that morning, on the knot. I don't know where you got in on this list, but wherever you got in, you ought to thank God, because it was all him and none of you. I love the hound out of that, don't you? I'm almost done. If your phone's still ringing, you can silence it. The bragging about his choice. I see the possession of bragging rights. He says in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. You can't glory in the choice you made. You must glory in but God hath chosen. That little word glory means to highly esteem. It wasn't the Baptist that saved you. It wasn't Billy that saved you. Highly esteem the one that butted into your life. Lift him up. Glory in him. You'll experience that little word glory, the weighty presence of God. That little word glory to imprint his image upon you. Oh, he is the only one with bragging rights of salvation this morning. Possession of bragging. Matter of fact, old Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, he says, I thank God that he chose me before the foundation of the world, because he would have never chose me in time. I agree with him. If God would have waited to see how I was going to turn out, he said, no, 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 that boy is a loser. He said, I'll have to keep my eye on him all the way from here to heaven. I'm glad he butted in. I'm talking about the possession of bragging rights. He has all the bragging rights. I see the position of bragging rights in verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. But of him, Christ Jesus, made unto you. It's all about him. But God hath chosen. Oh, the position of bragging rights. I close verse 30 with the beauty of his choice. I notice in verse number 30, there is the beauty of reckoning transfer. He says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. So many places Paul said that Christ is righteousness. What is the beauty of God's choice? He took everything that I was and He placed it on Christ's account. He took everything that Christ is and placed it on my account. Now when I stand before God, see, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the only thing the Father could see was me. And He unleashed all of hell on the cross because He saw Tom hanging there. But now that it's over with, the transfer has been made, all He can see now when He looks at me is Jesus. And He says, boy, I love that boy. He says, I took all his sins, they're gone. He's perfect in my sight. Wow, what a beauty of His choice. I see not only the reckoning of transfer, but I see the resemblance of transfer. He said He placed to my account wisdom. He transferred to me the senses of Christ. I now have Christ's mind in me. He said He transferred to me His righteousness. I now have His standing. He has changed my morals. He says I have transferred to Him my sanctification. There's been a change in my state. He has changed all my motives. I don't have any thoughts about if I'm going to go to church tonight. How come? I've been sanctified. I've been changed. God has interposed His choice in me. I have no choice but to go where He is at and be with Him. He says He has given me redemption, He says in verse 30. He's transferred to me His soul. There's been a change. I haven't yet realized it, but there's been a change in my mansion. I got a new address up there. I don't know if I'm getting mail up there yet or not, but I do have an address up there. Talking about the divine interruption by God's choice. I close with the words of this old song. As I read the words of this song, would you say yourself, this is an adequate description of your salvation? This is what the songwriter said. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. He redeemed me when He died. All I need. All I need. He will not His servant leave. He is all I need. He's the treasure of my soul. All I need. All I need. He hath cleansed me and made me whole. He is all I need. Glory, glory to the Lamb. All I need. All I need. By His Spirit sealed I am. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forever. My redemption full and sure. He is all I need. I thank God today for butting in with His choice. Before I asked you this morning to bow your heads, close your eyes, or stand, I wonder if you know of someone this morning who is lost and in darkness. I wonder if you would have enough burden this morning that you would like to root you out a place in this altar and pray, Father, would You take all of their choices away and give them nothing but Your choice. I wonder if that would be the case this morning. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning. You did not come in here thinking about it. It's not even really crossed your mind. for some odd reason while you've been sitting here, you have sensed God slipped up to you on the pew and told you, checkmate, your choices are over. You have felt Him set the hook this morning in you, and you feel right now He is clicking and drawing you to Himself. Wonder if that's the case. Would you root you out a place in this altar and say, God, have mercy upon me. Save my soul. I wonder if you're here this morning. There's never been an occasion, or if it has, it has been a long time since you just bowed in His presence, thanked Him for the day He butted into your life and interposed His choice upon you. Would you stand this morning? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Those three responses, someone you need to pray for, that God would come, take all their choices away, give them none but His. Maybe God set the hook on you this morning. He's checkmated you. Why don't you come, get in this altar, beg God to have mercy upon your soul. Been a long time since you just took a few moments to say, oh God, thank you for butting into my life with your choice, interposing what you wanted above what I wanted. I thank you so much, Jesus. While we wait a few moments, whatever they're going to do with the altar call, altar's open. You come this morning. Seek the Lord. Call on Him while He's near.